The writer Kathleen Norris, who has written quite widely and is a woman who knows quite a lot about Christian practice, writes of her experience going to the as a lay reader or a lay person in the Benedictine order, going to this monastery and while having a meal, listening to one of the monks or the sisters reading the scriptures while they eat. And I won't say this is comparable to that. It may, in fact, be somewhat analogous to that. And I trust that you will find it helpful to think on certain things as you continue with your meal. It's not surprising that food occupies a central place in the Christian scriptures and practices. For example, it was over food that humankind first sinned. It was over food that the first murder took place. It occasioned great migrations, conspiracies, battles, hatred, jealousy, love, compassion, generosity throughout the scriptures. Food is central to the scriptural teaching on who God is and what God is doing. God's people, Israel, instituted food laws intended to witness to their obedience to God and their desire to remember God's faithfulness to them. But today, as we sit and eat together, I would like for us to focus on God's invitation. Our text found in Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 3, follows the prophet Isaiah's description of God's promise to Israel and God's promise to restore Israel and renew his covenant of peace with them. Let me read these three verses with you. Ho! Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Let me draw just a few thoughts I had as I read through this again. As some of you know, this is probably my longest standing favorite passage in Scripture. Again, not surprisingly, it has to do with food. Come, all who are thirsty. The prerequisite here is thirst. Need, want. God does not force himself on any of us. Buy without money. How do you buy something without money? Elaine and I were at a conference last week in which the Saturday evening was taken up with us, those of us who were able, and those of us who perhaps needed to take advantage of the opportunity to walk a ways, to walk down the street from our hotel and go to a restaurant just down the road, kind of one of these more trendy restaurants called Drake 150. It's at the intersection of Drake and Queen Street in Toronto. It's a pretty hip place, a lot of loud music and everything else. But their direction was just order anything off the menu. We'll take care of everything. So eat as much as you want and just take as much as you want, and we've got the bill. I understand that this buy without money is like that. Ostensibly, we were buying, but we weren't paying for it. That's what God is doing. Here, it's on me. Take whatever you like. It's all good. Buy wine, milk, and bread. Those are the items mentioned here. Those are the essential descriptions of what food is. That which nourishes, that which is delightful, which tastes great, which represents God's presence with us through the bread and the wine. Eat what is good. Don't eat the bad stuff. Don't eat the things that are going to harm you, that aren't good for you, that perhaps taste great but don't do good things for your health. Focus on that which nourishes. And then the writer says that we are to understand this as a metaphor for the nourishment of the soul and of life itself. He writes, "Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live." Listen. Take in what I'm saying. Understand it. And then you will thrive. As I was reading this, questions came to my mind, and so I'll perhaps ask and then give a possible answer. Do you long for something more? Do you thirst? The answer is, then come. It's not, well, look over there, or in a little while, it'll all be better. It's just plain come. You're welcome to come now. Do you come empty-handed? Do you come in need? The answer is, then come, buy. Even if you don't have any money, buy, ask with God's credit card in hand. The food we need is on Him. Do you want food of the highest quality? This is where you find it. The food here is the best there is. Do you want healthy food? Well, that's all that's sold in this store, in this market. It's just the really great food, nothing else. Do you understand what I'm saying? I find the writer John in John's Gospel understood perfectly. Jesus understood perfectly. In chapter 4, Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." In chapter 6, Jesus also declared, "I am the bread of life. The one who came or comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty." And then in the last part of Isaiah 55, verse 3, the writer says, "I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David." In other words, do this and you will live. This isn't just a culinary experience. This is serious life business. Or, as the scriptures teach, it's the difference between life and death. Later, another prophet, Jeremiah, writes in chapter 15, verse 16, "Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts." And finally, the psalmist writes, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." May you find what you've eaten to become sweeter in the company we share it with, and as we continue to hear God's word speak to us while we eat. I know some of you have already been sharing while we've been eating, but I would invite you to continue for another 5 minutes or so, and then we'll move toward our offering. Carry on.